This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And welcome to Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. My name's Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV, filling in today for Earl Robinson, who's getting an early start to his weekend and well-deserved, although he did not pick a great day to be off today. It is a cold and wet afternoon here in the mid-Michigan area. If you're listening to us today, anywhere around this great country of ours or anywhere in the world, it is not one of the better days here in mid-Michigan weather-wise, and that has something to do with the fact that Michigan State pushed their baseball series with Ohio State back a day. It was originally scheduled to start this afternoon at 3:05. They will now begin that series on Saturday. It will run Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. First pitch on Saturday is 3:05. Sunday and Monday, first pitch will be 1:05 over at McLean Baseball Stadium. So we invite you to join us on today's show. We'll talk a little auto racing with our good friend Ken Friend, former voice of Michigan International Speedway, and we'll catch up with him a little bit here later in today's show. We'll also take your phone calls at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR, or you can reach us toll-free if you're outside the 517 area code at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. And Jacob is on the other side of the glass this afternoon. He is producing today's show, and he will be taking your phone calls, and we'll be chatting with him a little bit later in today's show. So we have a lot to get to. It's a pretty busy weekend, even though, as I like to say, you know, once basketball and hockey season ends, at least for us here in the mid-Michigan area, we're going about 100 miles an hour. I put on nearly 5,000 miles in 3 weeks traveling between Indianapolis, Columbus, and Phoenix with the Michigan State basketball team. And then they get knocked out and the hockey team gets knocked out. Both of them are eliminated from the NCAA tournament within about 20 hours of each other. So we go from 100 miles an hour to about 25. And when you're going 100 miles an hour for the better part of 8 months, it's not bad to slow down just a little bit. But even though we're slowing down just a little bit, that doesn't mean there's not lots to talk about. Again, that Michigan State baseball series pushed back one day. It won't start today. It'll start tomorrow. Michigan State has not yet played a Big Ten game. There are six teams in the Big Ten who have played already. Michigan State getting a bye, if you will, in the first weekend. And they are one of the hotter teams in the league. They've won 8 straight games, and they are maybe not hitting it as well as Coach Jake Boss would like. But I know that they are. They certainly have the arms, and their ERA is one of the best in the Big Ten. So that is certainly keeping them in some ball games. So that will be something that we'll be keeping our eyes on over the weekend. We're also less than a week away from the beginning of the Major League Baseball season, and your prohibitive favorite to win the American League Central, and in most people's eyes, your prohibitive favorite to get to the World Series, and even many are saying your prohibitive favorite to win it all, your Detroit Tigers will open up their season next Thursday at home against the Boston Red Sox. Some good news: Miguel Cabrera, after injuring that eye on that that freak little ground ball that popped up about a week or so ago and got him in the eye, and of course he had the cracked orbital bone, but that's healing up nicely. He was back in the cage yesterday, and he will start at third base for their minor league game today, and they are playing the Baltimore Orioles. Now, one of the more interesting storylines from this spring training, and there haven't been a ton for the Tigers, obviously with Prince Fielder coming in, that's been one of them. Brandon Inge's story is another interesting storyline, and whether or not he will make the final 25-man roster. He ended last night's game against the Washington Nationals grounding into a double play. It was a sharply hit ball to third base, but right at the third baseman and pretty much a tailor-made double play, and that ended the game. And you just wonder if maybe that was his final at-bat wearing the old English D, but that is one of the storylines that is yet to be determined here in spring training. The other one that many people are keeping their eyes on is the battle for the fifth starter. And Andy Oliver was sent down by the team yesterday. So now we're looking at basically two guys, two lefties, battling for that final spot. You've got Dwayne Bielow, who's 26 years old, and he's going to make the start today for the Tigers against the Baltimore Orioles. And then on Monday, Drew Smyly, who's just 22 years old, he's making a bid to become the fifth starter as well. He will start for the team on Monday against Toronto. And I would have to imagine that based on those two performances from these two left-handers, that's when Jim Leland will decide who will be his fifth starter. Now, that fifth starter may not be the most important spot on the roster, at least in the early going of the season, because there's a good chance that they won't need that fifth starter because of the way that the schedule works until maybe as late as April 14th, which is about eight games into their season. So there's a good chance that these two guys are going to battle it out for that final roster spot, but it won't be necessarily something that the team will have to use until mid-April, till they're a week or more into their season. So that's one of the battles going on still in spring training as the Tigers get ready to break from Lakeland early next week and will make their way north to the Motor City again, opening up on Thursday against the Boston Red Sox. So that's something we are definitely keeping our eyes on to see what will happen with that fifth starter. And early on in spring training, the Tigers were just dominant, and it's always tough to tell, record-wise, but again, I think you saw a lot of good things from the Tigers in spring training, and I always think that the first week or so of the season is really important. I mean, you know, when you're playing 162 games, you can say, well, you know, each one counts one, and, you know, even if you get off to a slow start, you can rally. But, you know, getting off to a good start is so important that Detroit is going to want to do that when they come north to really kind of get their season kick-started, get it going, and try and get themselves into a position where they can take the lead here in the AL Central and not let up through the rest of the season, and really kind of put their foot on this division, which, and I think you'd have to say, is one of the weaker divisions in baseball. And we'll just kind of have to see how it plays out for the Tigers as they get going here in their early season. The Red Wings, on a contrast, as the Tigers are getting ready to begin their season, the Red Wings are getting ready to wrap up their regular season. They've just got a little bit more than a week to go in their regular season. And then, of course, they have already qualified for the playoffs for the 21st year, building on their franchise record. And they will get going here in the Stanley Cup playoffs in just a little bit. They currently sit in fourth place in the Western Conference. They have 97 points. They trail first place St. Louis by 9 points, and it seems unlikely, even though Detroit has five games left and St. Louis only has four, that Detroit would be able to catch St. Louis for that number one overall seed. So the battle for the Red Wings really comes down to a battle for seeding and for home ice. And of course, right now, again, they are sitting in fourth place. They have a 1-point lead over the Nashville Predators. They have played the same number of games. They have a 2-point lead over the Chicago Blackhawks, and Chicago has played one more game than both Nashville and Detroit. And the Red Wings will have to continue to win here down the stretch. Of course, they have a huge game with Nashville tonight, and that will go a long way to deciding who will be in that four spot in the Western Conference. And when you look at Detroit, they've just been a completely different team this year away from Joe Louis Arena. They had that incredible winning streak in the middle of the season. They've been besieged with injuries here over the last month and a half, and that has really hurt their record. But they've just been, they've not been good on the road. And for them to be able to clinch home ice and get that four seed in the first round, I think is going to be very important for them if they want to make a run at getting to the Stanley Cup. And right now, In Vegas, they're about 12-1 to win the Stanley Cup. So there are right now the Pittsburgh Penguins are your favorite, followed by Vancouver, the Rangers, St. Louis, Boston, and then Detroit. But you know, in order for the Wings, I think, to be successful, they're going to need to get as many home games as they can, and that's going to mean, you know, getting some wins here in their final five games over the next week, about 10 days, I guess, before they wrap up their regular season, to be able to clinch that home ice and to be able to play at home, because that has been very important, at least for the success of their season. We do have a little bit of news from Detroit as well concerning the Tigers, and they have kind of partnered here with the state of Michigan. The state's Pure Michigan Tourism ad campaign is coming to the home of the Tigers officials, announcing Friday that a large version of the campaign's logo will be visible to fans at Comerica Park for three seasons on a light tower in right field. Bench backs, railings for both the Tigers and visiting team dugouts are expected to highlight the Pure Michigan campaign. Those Pure Michigan TV ads are also planned during Tigers games in some out-of-state markets. So the state of Michigan looking toward the Detroit Tigers and looking to, again, help draw some tourism here into the state of Michigan. And I would have to imagine that there's going to be a lot of people who will be coming into the state of Michigan to either watch the Tigers play from out of state or watch maybe their favorite team from out of state. Although tickets will be tough to come by. This is, I would guess, going to be one of the more popular seasons for the Tigers as far as attendance goes. And tickets may be tough to come by at some point, but if you get a chance to go down to Comerica Park, of course you're going to see all those Pure Michigan ads down there throughout the season and for two other seasons to go. All right, it's 1:18 here on this Friday afternoon. We invite your phone calls today here on Sports Talk on AM 870 WKAR, and you can get involved in today's program by dialing up 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR, or you can call us toll-free if you're outside the 517 area code, and you can do that by dialing 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. If you want to get involved in today's program, we'd love to hear from you, find out what's going on in your sports world as we get ready to go into this weekend. Of course, we've got a lot of baseball going on. And again, I mentioned the Michigan State baseball team is home. The softball team is also home as well. They're coming off a difficult loss yesterday at home to Butler. But the softball team will be hosting Ohio State on Saturday and Sunday as well this weekend. But we invite you to stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870.
A chlorine atom is sitting at the bar when a sodium atom walks in and jumps him. I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for the punchline to that joke and other science funnies in our annual April Fool's Joke-a-thon. We'll prove that science is a laughing matter. That's on Science Friday from NPR.
Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 p.m. right here on AM 870.
I'm Scott Pohl. Thanks for tuning in today. Rain and a chance of thunderstorms with a high today in the low 40s. Overnight, the low 32. We could see some light rain this evening with cloudy skies. Mostly cloudy with a high in the low 50s tomorrow. Partly sunny Sunday. Maybe rain and thunderstorms. The high 68.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. I'm Jeremy Sampson. Thank you very much, Scott, for updating us on today's weather. And as I mentioned, a bit of a dreary wet day around the mid-Michigan area, but it's always a good day, in my opinion, to talk a little auto racing. And to do that, we want to bring on our good friend Ken Friend, and we'll talk with him about what's going on in the world of auto racing. Good afternoon, Ken. How are you?
Oh, hello there, old buddy. How you doing, Jeremy? Pleasure to be with you.
I'm doing great. Great to hear your voice again. And for the so many people that have enjoyed going down to Michigan International Speedway, that voice may sound very familiar. The one-time voice of the track down at MIS. And you've got some new ventures coming up this summer. Tell me a little bit about what you've got going on this summer at Springport, Ken.
Really tickled about it. Just in the last couple of weeks, signed into a season-long agreement with the friendly folks at Springport Motor Speedway. Going back there as the track announcer this year, and we're just really excited about it. You know, the track opened down there in Springport in 1989. Their first full season was 1990. And the first race announcing job I ever had, Jeremy, was at what was then known as Michigan Ideal Speedway.
Yep.
And so it was 20 years ago this summer that I started down there. And, of course, it was all in an effort to hone my skills and get the job that I always wanted as a kid. And that dream job was in Brooklyn at the big track. And doggone it, I spent a couple of years in Springport. That kind of opened a few doors for Michigan International Speedway. I got to do that. I stepped out of that announce booth in, 2002. And now Jeff and Pam Parrish have taken over the facility with Speedway Entertainment Group down there in Springport. And they've got a wonderful bunch of partners. And May 5th, we're dropping the hammer. And they have a really aggressive schedule, Jeremy, and we're looking forward to, throughout the whole summer down there in Springport.
Yeah, if you can, talk about that schedule a little bit, because, as the economy has kind of fluctuated here, you know, over the last 5 to 7 years, I know there's been some difficulty for some of these local tracks around the mid-Michigan area and, frankly, around the country. But as I've kind of seen things develop, Ken, here over the last couple years, it looks like some of these tracks are really starting to come back a little bit, flourish, and, as you mentioned, beef up their schedules.
Yeah, there's a bunch of tracks, a bunch of short tracks, these little bull rings. There's a lot of them in the state of Michigan. It's a great tradition here in mid-Michigan. Of course, Spartan Speedway has been in Mason for, I think over half a century. And, $4 a gallon of gas trying to get the family to one of these racetracks, that's an issue. And the people at Springport Motor Speedway, they've lowered the ticket prices. I've searched the internet, Jeremy, trying to find some of the ticket prices at these various tracks around the state of Michigan. And I would tell you that Springport, you know, they've got a $10 admission ticket. And you can't find many tracks in Michigan with that low of a ticket. The kids can get in for $5. Senior citizens over 60 get in for $8. The staff at the Speedway is well aware that Springport Motor Speedway, it's a little bit off the beaten path, but it's in the middle of everywhere, you know. So they've dropped the ticket prices. They're going to have very affordable concession prices. The drivers are all pumped up about it. There's already 80 drivers in different classes that have signed up with their profiles on the SpringportMotorSpeedway.com website. So the talk in the pit area and the drivers and those families, that talk is really taken over in the last few weeks. And we certainly hope the fans come out, and we think they will. We really think they will, beginning May 5th with the season opener. And, you know, it'll be a Saturday night track, Jeremy. And there's also 9 Sunday afternoon shows sprinkled in there. So a lot of these tracks are hurting. There's not many of them that are making a lot of money. And it's a challenge at these short tracks. And in the meetings I've had with the Parrish family and the staff, the partnership at Springport Motor Speedway, we're going to do our darndest to make this a family-loving kind of event on a Saturday night, make it affordable, make it fun, and hopefully they'll come back.
Well, and Ken Friends joining us here on Sports Talk here on WKAR AM 870 to talk a little auto racing with us. He is the voice of the track announcer down at Springport Speedway. And Ken, whenever I get a chance to go to Springport or to Spartan, and we go during the summertime and maybe do some profiles on some local drivers, it never ceases to amaze me the passion, the time, the effort the money that many of these racers from around our area pour in to their cars, to getting them ready to go out and race on, as you say, a Saturday night under the lights. It's really their chance to kind of feel like they're running in the big time. And I always enjoy being able to go out and tell some of those stories, because there are literally guys and families out there. You'll see husbands and wives working together with small children. They're in the pits, and it's a family deal, but it's something that they really enjoy doing. And those are the stories that I kind of enjoy telling, is getting a chance to talk with some of the drivers from around the area.
Yeah, you know, it's a shame that they don't get more publicity at these little short tracks like Springport, Spartan, what have you. But if you dig deep enough, you wander through the pits on a given race night, there are families that have been doing this for decades.
Right.
And you and I like to go out and play golf on the weekend. These families, they've got one or two race cars in the garage, yep. And this is what they do in their spare time. Very few do this full time and make any kind of a living out of it. But all winter long, these racing families have been huddled in their garages, putting these cars together, and beginning today, as a matter of fact, and going through tomorrow, you'll see some of the finest-looking race cars down at the Jackson Crossing Mall. The race car show, started today. It's sponsored by the fine folks at the Alpha Coney Island down there at the Jackson Crossing Mall, I-94 and 127. But if you want to get on 127 today or tomorrow, you'll go down there. There are some sharp race cars, and these families take a lot of pride in how these race cars look, and not to mention just how they're going to race each and every weekend. There's a lot of great stories. There's women behind the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
There are teenagers behind the wheel. There are senior citizens behind the wheel. It's just a fantastic array of drivers, family connections, and the entire community under that racing umbrella. It's a special breed.
And I think when you get down to it, the other thing that has always struck me about some of these family-owned short tracks here in our area is the marketing that they do. They market their product very well. They market to their consumers. And they do fun things. They do different things. Spartan Speedway had Poor Paul's Money from Heaven, where the track owner went up in a lift and tossed money down on the infield while some of the patrons went to grab it. And they have things like school bus races and school bus figure eights, and my favorite, the Faster Pastor. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that when you put the clergy behind the wheel and let them go at it for a couple laps to determine who's going to be the champ. So that's always the other thing that strikes me, Ken, is the marketing that they do and the different kind of things that some of these short tracks do.
Well, the people, the staff, once again, at Springport Motor Speedway, they're really going above and beyond as far as their contact with the race fans and social media. You don't hear a lot of radio or TV commercials from these racetracks. It's simply too expensive these days.
Right.
And so what do? Well, you kind of got to beat the bushes like the old days. You got to put up a poster in the barbershop. You got to put a signboard out in your lawn, like a political sign, you got to do everything. Social media is really going to be very friendly to the race fans.
Yep.
Facebook with Springport Motor Speedway, you folks that are on Facebook, hit it. Springport Motor Speedway. Twitter, you got to hit it. When I'm in the booth, I have not heard of another track in the country that is going to accept tweets from the race fans during the races. We're going to do that tonight. Jeremy, it's going to be all access.
I like it.
At Springport Motor Speedway, the fans are really going to be a great big part of the show. So if the listeners would be kind enough to visit either springportmotorspeedway.com or the Facebook page, you're going to see a lot of those race cars that I talked about down at the car show in Jackson. But You'll get caught up on all the information, stay right on top of it. You'll find out that NASCAR legend Kenny Schrader is going to make an appearance at the Springport Speedway on June 16th. That's the MIS weekend. The USAC midgets are on the schedule. There's Sunday shows. This is going to, you know, practice starts next Thursday afternoon. Thursdays and Saturdays, these race teams will bring their cars out. Thursdays and Saturdays for practice, test and tune sessions, getting set for that May 5th opener. So after you watch the Kentucky Derby on, the first Saturday in May was made for horsepower, and that's when we're going to open up the gates May 5th at Springport.
Well, let's talk, if we can, and shift our gears a little bit to the Sprint Cup schedule. And, of course, we've got the two races coming up annually, as we do every year in Michigan this year, bringing the best drivers in the world to Michigan International Speedway, to the Irish Hills. And that's always a fantastic weekend. The staff at MIS has done a great job to, lower ticket prices, make that a very fan-friendly and family-friendly event for people to go to. But when I look at how the early season here is shaped up here in the Sprint Cup, one of the biggest stories for me, I guess, has been Dale Earnhardt Jr. Now, he sits, I believe, fourth in the point standings. He hasn't won in 134 races, which leaves me kind of scratching my head. But they're in Martinsville this week. He seems like he's enjoying it again. He's seems like he's got that vigor back that he had earlier in his career to run. If you can, just kind of talk a little bit about Little Lee, what he's gone through this year, and maybe why he's having a little bit more success early this season than he has in years past.
Well, this weekend at Martinsville, you know, that was about as close as he got to winning a cup event last year. He battled it right down in the closing laps with Kevin Harvick. Harvick finally got by him, but that was, I think Earnhardt had 6 second place finishes last year. So he was really knocking on the door. And I'll give you a live update. Earnhardt is third quickest in the opening practice session as we speak down at the Paperclip in Southern Virginia at Martinsville. So I think he's pretty pumped up. Some of the media I was listening to on Twitter earlier today, Earnhardt's pretty pumped up in the media center this morning prior to that first practice. It was, you know, this was as close as he came last year to winning one. His crew chief, Steve Letarte, last year was their first year. You know, they're building that chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
Earnhardt, he's a busy guy. You know, where did I see it? But he makes $20, $25 million a year. He doesn't make all that on the racetrack. He's got a lot of things going on. He's a busy man. I'm not making excuses for him because he's overdue. His last win was in the Irish Hills in Brooklyn. So he's long overdue. He's knocking on the door. Are we going to see a win before he comes here in June? I would bet on it. I would think so. He's just that close. It might happen this weekend at Martinsville. You know, he always runs well at Charlotte, you know, for the Memorial weekend, the 600 down there. I really think getting a season under his belt with his crew chief, Steve Letarte, they're building that chemistry, getting a little more seasoned, and, I think he's really, really close. Now, I've been a tough critic about Earnhardt Jr. You know, he came out of the gate back in the early 2000s, winning a lot of those restricted plate races, and then, you know, he just fell off the map. Is it talent? Is it being too busy? We'll find out. But once he breaks this ice again, Jeremy, I think we all agree that once he gets to that podium one more time, then he's gonna feel a lot of relief off his shoulders, and we'll see him in victory lane more often, I think.
Well, he had all those struggles at DEI, and they were, you know, family issues. And I have to think that that had a lot to do with some of his struggles on the track, just what he was dealing with off the track. But, you know, making the move to Hendrick, to me, has seemed to stabilize him a little bit, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Oh, I think so. Well, you know, he's got proven equipment. You know, he's got the equipment, so what's the issue? Yeah, you know, he didn't get along with his stepmom, Teresa Earnhardt, and so he got out from underneath that that Earnhardt umbrella and moved over to Hendrick. So the cars, are, you know, you just don't find better equipment than you do at Hendrick Motorsports. So, you know, he's running out of excuses, Jeremy. He's got a... And you know what? He's gotten a little too nice on the racetrack, too, I think, over the last couple of years.
His dad wasn't very nice on the racetrack.
That's right. His dad was an awfully good guy off the track, but on track, you don't want to see him in your mirror.
Nope.
Because he'd put that black Chevrolet bumper on you. But, I think once he breaks the ice, he'll be all right.
All right, if I can ask you to kind of look into your crystal ball here, and we're talking to Ken Friend, who is the track announcer at Springport Speedway and our motor racing expert. If you can kind of look into your crystal ball and, you know, look ahead to the end of the year, who do you think will be the Sprint Cup champion once everything's said and done?
Oh, boy. It's real...
I know we're early in the season, so I'm kind of putting you on the spot here. But who's maybe a driver or two that's kind of looked like to you? I mean, all eyes I would think at the beginning of the season were on Carl Edwards. I mean, he was so close last year, and you know, Tony Stewart was able to get it done in the last race. And Edwards has had a little bit of a slow start to this year. You know, is he one? Is he a guy who can rebound here a little bit and still make a strong charge toward that championship?
No, Carl Edwards in the Jack Roush Ford, he'll be a factor, but I'm learning really quick that it's really tough to beat a competent Tony Stewart. You know, he's what has he won? He's won 7 races out of the last 15. Going back to last year, he had that tremendous run in the chase for the cup. If I had to put my nickel on it today, Jeremy, I'm going to go with with Tony Stewart. He's got the confidence. He owns the race team. He's never felt more comfortable. He's got the Hendrick equipment as well, and really tough to beat. I think Jimmy Johnson will inch up the ladder again to also be part of it. I think the Chevrolets will really come to the forefront towards the end of the season. And if Stewart continues this confident effort, I think he'll be a factor. You know, getting back to MIS for just a second, and I know you're probably running short on time, new pavement, new racing surface at MIS this year is going to have a whole new look to it. And the first time that the drivers will get to put their tires on the pavement at Michigan will be next week. Tuesday and Wednesday, Goodyear tire test. Brad Keselowski, Jeff Gordon, Juan Montoya, and Matt Kenseth. So they'll be down there. Looks like Wednesday might be the better weather day. Fans are invited to this tire test. Fans will be able to get in for free in the Turn 1 grandstand. That's coming up April 3 and April 4 in the Irish Hills.
And that changes the track dramatically. When you resurface, that changes a lot of those grooves, and it takes some time for a track to kind of come in, doesn't it?
Well, it's going to be faster, I'll tell you that. Expect a new track record in June, upper 190s, you know. I think the track record, I'd have to look it up, but I think it's around 195. And so I expect maybe a tick quicker than that. You know, they've also taken all the grandstands out of the north end of the speedway. Turn 4, all those silver grandstands you saw for all these years, those grandstands are now gone. So the seating capacity, which once was at about 135,000 at MIS, the seating capacity now down closer to about 90. So a whole new look in Brooklyn when they come their Father's Day weekend.
Ken, we appreciate your time today here on Sports Talk on AM 870 WKAR. Again, I appreciate a couple minutes and look forward to teeing it up with you here very soon.
And we're going to work out the details. You're going to throw a green flag at Springport Motor Speedway this year.
If they'll have me, we'll pick a night and I'll go down there and I'll throw the green flag. I'd be more than happy to do it.
Thanks, Jeremy. It's great to hear from you. We'll see
you. All right, you too. Ken Friend, who's now the track announcer at Springport Speedway, the former voice of Michigan International Speedway, and, well, heck, just an all-around good guy. All right, time for us to take another quick break here. We invite you to stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on WKAR AM 870.
Nobel Prize winner Eric Kandel is a famous neuroscientist, but he's also an art expert. I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday as Kandel talks about The Age of Insight, his book on turn-of-the-century Vienna, and the intersection of science and art. That's all on Science Friday from NPR.
That's coming up on Talk of the Nation right here at 3 p.m. on AM 870 WKAR Radio.
The high today only in the low 40s with rain and a chance of thunderstorms. Cloudy tonight and maybe some rain this evening with a low of 32. Mostly cloudy Saturday, the high 51. Partly sunny Sunday with a slight chance of rain and thunderstorms and a high of 68. I'm Scott Pohl.
Thank you very much, Scott, and welcome back to Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV filling in today for Earl Robinson, who's getting an early start on his weekend. And as you mentioned, Scott, as you heard Scott tell you, not the best of days outside. That's why they've, as we told you earlier in the show, moved the Michigan State Baseball Series back a day. They were supposed to start this afternoon at 3 o'clock at McLean Stadium. But again, that series with Ohio State has been pushed back. Game one will be on Saturday, first pitch at 3:05. Game two Sunday with the first pitch at 1:05. And game three will be on Monday. Again, first pitch, 1:05 there. We will be open line here for the last 17 minutes of today's show. We invite you to join us by calling in at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR. Or if you're outside the 517 area code, you can reach us at 877-952-7870. That's 877-952-7870. WKAR 870. We'd love to hear from you as we wrap up this Friday edition here on Sports Talk. Let's talk a little bit now about the Final Four coming up in New Orleans. Saturday, beginning at a little bit after 6 o'clock, you've got the Battle of the Bluegrass State. It's Louisville against Kentucky. Of course, the Wildcats have been the pretty much consensus number one team throughout this season, just two losses on the year. They've been dominant in winning their games in the NCAA tournament, and I would really have to think that they would be the odds-on favorite here to win the whole thing. Then in the nightcap, you know, if that battle of Kentucky again is not good enough for you, which I don't know if you've heard some of the stories this week, but there is even a news story out a couple days ago about two gentlemen that were at a dialysis center for some treatment. And one was a UK fan, one was a UL fan, and they literally got into it. They had a little physical altercation over which of their schools was going to end up winning the national championship. So when you talk about rivalries, this is definitely one of them that goes pretty deep. And those two will battle in the first game of the semifinals on Saturday. Then just before 9 o'clock, Kansas against Ohio State. And again, it's interesting that, you know, you've got all four of the power conferences here represented in this Final Four. But I'm looking forward to really both of those basketball games. They should be very good basketball games on the weekend. All right, let's go out to our phone lines this afternoon, and let's welcome in John, who's in Waverly on line number one. Hi, John. How are you?
Hi, Jeremy. I'm fine. I heard an interview from the other this morning with Tom Onassis is out in Boston watching his daughter play in a national hockey tournament.
Uh-huh.
And if you'd open the free press to the All-Metro basketball team, she was also on the second team Metro North.
Yes, he's got a very talented group of kids. You know, he's got I think he's got five different kids and four girls and a boy, and they're all very talented. Some in athletics and some in academics, but yes, his one daughter there who's in high school has been a very talented two sport. Athlete here over this winter, and you know, we've talked with him a little bit about that during the season, and like any proud father, you know, he's very proud of his daughter and what she's done, for sure.
Well, it's just a phenomenal story, and I thought I'd share it for some of those that might not have picked up on it, but to be in a national hockey tournament a week after her basketball season's over is really outstanding.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because he's never been one to really bring it up, you know, when we talk with him about it, you know, and he's not one to brag, if you will, about, you know, the accomplishments of his kids necessarily on the athletic front. But, you know, if you ask him about it, you know, he certainly gives you everything that's going on, and he is certainly very proud of all his kids. And that's another thing that kind of keeps him busy. You know, he's kind of had to shift his focus, obviously, as being the head coach, and that I think has taken away maybe a little bit of him being able to watch his kids do some of those things. But again, you know, if given his druthers, I'm sure he'd rather be practicing right now, getting ready to play in the Frozen Four himself. But if not, it has given him an opportunity to watch his daughter play in that national tournament. You're right.
Well, thanks for sharing that.
No problem, John. We appreciate the phone call today. Again, you can join us here throughout the rest of today's show. We've got about 13 minutes left to go, 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR, or you can reach us toll-free again at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR, 870 if you're outside the 517 area code. Let's take a little bit of a closer look at these two national semifinal games being played on Saturday night in New Orleans. Again, the first game is Louisville against Kentucky. These two teams met earlier in the season. Kentucky was able to win that game by 7 points on their home court. And again, I would think that they would have to be the prohibitive favorite in this one. But to me, this is a rivalry game. And I got a chance to watch Louisville up close and personal when they knocked off Michigan State in Phoenix, and was so impressed with them on the defensive end. They really stifled Michigan State and had Michigan State really out of sync offensively. And, you know, a lot of that goes to the credit of Rick Pitino and really the point guard play of Peyton Siva, who's just been excellent for them in this NCAA tournament run. Again, as I mentioned, you know, Kentucky's got to be considered the prohibitive favorite to win this tournament. They've just been they've been the top team in the country pretty much the whole season. They've got the most talent on the floor, but I think this game's going to be a lot closer than people expect. I mean, Kentucky's pretty much blown out their competition here thus far in four games in the NCAA tournament. But, you know, I really think this game's going to be a lot closer than maybe some people expect, just because of Rick Pitino and what he can do, the wealth of experience that he has. And you give him, you know, I kind of put him in the class a little bit with Tom Izzo. You give him enough days to prepare, and he's going to come out with a good plan. Now, it's up to his guys to obviously execute that. And if they can do that, I think that's going to be a pretty close game. I still think, you know, Kentucky finds a way to win. But this is a game, I think, when some of those young Kentucky players are really going to get their first sense of feeling a little bit of heat in the NCAA tournament. You know, they're going to be playing in a huge dome with a lot of people watching. And but I still think that they've got enough talent here in the end. They've shot their free throws well, and that's something that I always look at, you know, late in a game, to see if a team's going to be able to close out a game and win it late. And Kentucky has been able to do that, as we mentioned early on in the tournament. And then in the nightcap, Kansas and Ohio State. And, you know, one can only wonder and maybe do a little bit of a what if. You know, when Michigan State won that Big Ten championship and they got seeded as the number one seed, but they got seeded out west, and I looked at how the brackets broke down, and I saw the Marquettes of the world, the Louisvilles, and again, you had Missouri in that bracket, although they got knocked off early. And it to me, it just looked like a much more difficult draw for them than maybe Ohio State had as a two seed who was able to stay a little bit closer to home. So, you know, who knows how things would have worked out if Ohio State would have knocked off Michigan State in that Big Ten championship game, if Ohio State would have leapfrogged into that number one seed, Michigan State was maybe that two seed. Tough to tell how things would have worked out, but I think Ohio State's path to getting to the Final Four has been easier than Michigan State's was. But again, you've got Kansas, who comes in with a 31-6 record, against Ohio State, who comes in at 31-7. And You've got two teams that were able to kind of navigate their way through the minefield of the NCAA tournament here through these four games. And I think teams that match up really, really well. I mean, obviously we know a lot about Ohio State, watching them in the Big Ten. We know what a great defender Aaron Kraft is. Lenzel Smith Jr. has just really upped his game this year and has really, really been very good. Jared Sullinger at times gets a little frustrated on the floor, and Kansas has a seven-footer on their team, so it will be interesting to see, and this game could be one in the post. This could be one of those games where you really figure out who's kind of getting the easier baskets on the inside, could be the team that wins. But if I were making predictions on this, I would think that Kentucky would knock off Louisville. And then I like Kansas to beat Ohio State. And I know that there are not a lot of people that are picking Kansas. I think Ohio State's the favorite in this one. But I kind of like Kansas to knock off Ohio State. And then I like Kentucky on Monday night in the final. Jacob, when you look at this and you kind of break down these four teams, and obviously, again, as I mentioned, Kentucky's kind of been the prohibitive favorite. What do you see?
I actually agree with you on both those picks. I got to stick with my original national championship selection, which was Kentucky and Kansas. And so I'm not going to back – the way this bracket's been, I'm not going to back down from that now. And I think Kentucky wins. I think the Kentucky-Louisville game is going to come down to Louisville's defense. I'm just taking a look at the stats of that first meeting they had. And Louisville really shut down Kentucky. They only shot 30% from the field, 19% from the three-point line. The only reason they won that game, they made 32 free throws.
Right.
So if Louisville can lock them down like that again and limit the free throw attempts, they have a shot. They also had 57 rebounds. So it's going to come down to rebounds and free throws if the first game's any indication. So I think that's going to be a really close game. Louisville's kind of been, though in the tournament, not really consistent with their shooting. So the only reason they beat Michigan State is because Michigan State managed to somehow shoot worse than Louisville did in that game. So we'll see what that turns out to be. It's going to be, I think, a defensive game for Louisville. But Kentucky is so good, and they are so fast and so athletic that I think they win that game. And Ohio State, Kansas, the first meeting this season is not really a barometer because you didn't have Sullinger in the game.
Right.
So I don't really think that means a whole lot. I think, though, Kansas finds a way to win. I think that's probably going to be the closer of the two games. I think it's going to be a really tight game. But I like Kentucky-Kansas in the final, and I got to stick with Kentucky as the national champion.
I thought it was interesting that CBS went with Louisville and Kentucky as the lead game and put Kansas and Ohio State as the nightcap. I would have thought that maybe they would have flipped those around a little bit. I heard an interesting stat today that this is the first time in 50 years that two teams from the same state will play each other in a national semifinal. It was back in the late 50s, early 60s, when Cincinnati and Ohio State battled for three straight seasons in the national semifinals. And, they were able to play back then. So, again, it's just one of these rivalry games when you look at these two teams. So, this tournament has been void of a lot of drama. You know, we had one overtime game. Ohio was kind of the lone Cinderella. And when you look at that, they were about one free throw away from knocking off North Carolina and really kind of turning this thing on its ear a little bit. But we don't have that Cinderella in the Final Four this year. There is no George Mason. There is no Butler. There is no VCU. These are four heavyweights from power conferences, which to me still makes for some interesting basketball, and especially when you have the Battle of Kentucky, as we mentioned, coming up in that first game. Let's go back out to our phone lines here. We've got about 5 minutes left in today's show, and welcome in Bill, who's listening this afternoon in Pinckney. Hi, Bill. How are you?
All right, so far.
Good. What's going on with you today?
Next weekend, on the 7th, track and field meet there at Michigan State, the Spartan Invitational. They're using that opportunity to have a reunion of the 1972 track and field team that won the Big Ten title indoors and outdoors, and the cross country team from the fall. That was the first and only triple crown of that track and field and cross country. There's going to be a banquet after the meet over at Kellogg Center, the Big Ten off the Big Ten room there. And this is the last day you can reserve a spot for $50 if you call Lena Pettis at the track office at 517-898-2129. And still get in on that. Some interesting Hall of Fame names are going to be there. Herb Washington, Marshall Dill. Ken Popejoy, of course, is the only guy ever run under 4 minutes in the mile, is in that group there. Marv Roberts, are one of the great football people, threw the shot that year. He's coming in. I just want to alert everybody, it's the last chance for that. And Earl said he's going to join them informally at the Hall of Fame Bar and Grill.
Well, good.
Friday night.
Well, good. Well, I appreciate you passing that along, and hopefully you guys have a great turnout there next week for that little reunion.
Hey, I appreciate you letting us hoot on it.
Not a problem, Bill. Thanks very much.
All right, thank you.
Always nice to hear, you know, when some of those teams get back together again. And I've been around some of those with football and men's basketball. And the stories grow, as you can imagine, from year to year. And but watching those people get back together, laugh and joke like they do, it's fun to watch those reunions for sure. All right, that's going to pretty much wrap up today's show. Is Earl back in the hot seat on Monday?
He doesn't tell me anything, so I didn't even know you were going to be here today.
It was a little bit of a surprise.
I was sitting in the controller when you walk up behind me. Oh, Jeremy's here. Okay, cool. So sure. We'll go with yes. I don't really know.
All right. Well, hopefully Earl will be back in the locker room with you on Monday. Of course, you can see him coming up Sunday morning with Tim Stout on the Sunday Stout on Sports. This Sunday, of course, that's at 11 a.m. And he will join me on the Sunday Stout on Sports next Sunday as Tim will be on vacation. So he will join me on TV for that. Coming up this weekend, shameless plug, if I can, on WILX TV, we'll have all the action from McLean Baseball Stadium as Michigan State again takes on Ohio State to get their Big Ten season kicked off. We'll also have softball as well, softball facing Ohio State over the weekend. So we've got a busy weekend on campus over at Old College Field, the Old College Field complex over there, with both baseball and softball this weekend as they get going with those. I hope you get a chance to watch the Final Four a little bit. That's always a nice culmination, as I call it, a celebration of college basketball as the season winds down. It was a great year for Michigan State, falling, you know, a few games short of ultimately their goal and where they wanted to be. But again, this is a young team, really, when you look at it. They learned a lot this year, and I would not be surprised, even without Draymond Green, if next year's team is a little bit better than this year's team. I think they're going to be a little bit more talented than this year's team, but they'll certainly have a lot going on there. Don't forget, the Tigers wrap up their spring training again. You've got two guys left here for one spot as the fifth starter, Dwayne Bielo and Drew Smiley, both left-handers. And we'll watch that battle here over the weekend and into Monday to find out who the fifth starter is going to be. I want to thank Ken Friend, our special guest today, for joining us for a couple minutes, the voice of Spartan Speedway. I want to thank John and Bill, who took some time to call in today and join us as well. Jacob, good to see you again. Excellent job on the other side of the glass, as always. And we invite you to tune in today at 6 and 11 o'clock on WILX TV. I'll fill you in on all the day's sporting events. But for now, from Michigan State University, this is AM 870 WKAR.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.